Welcome to VFN Radio, the extra hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. What a wonderful first hour that we had. Those that are joining us in the extra hour, kick back. If you're at your desk, don't kick back too far. Kind of lean up and work. But you can listen to us really low on your computer or your iPhone or your Android phone. For those that are driving and listening to us, drive careful. And those that are at home, the mothers that are doing awesome things of taking care of the children and the homestead, and it's a work that only a mother has that kind of anointing to do.
Amen.
And those that are, just relax, kick back, grab you a cup of coffee. We're going to be talking and having a conversation that encourages you as you stand faithful before the Lord. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. We are now in the extra hour. Can you believe it? Here we are, the extra hour.
Amazing.
I know that we talked about in the first hour, you know, the word of wisdom. So you want to make sure, you know, get that word of wisdom. If you didn't get it, you can get it in the highlights there. But, Pat, I don't know if you heard about it. Did you hear about this bus driver? Well, she wasn't a bus driver. She was actually a monitor on a bus driver. So you have a bus driver, school bus driver, and then you have a monitor. Her name is Karen Klein, and she's 68 years old and just has a really sweet heart. You can tell, you know, she's being interviewed. But on this bus, it looks like the kids are probably around, I don't know, 14 years old, you know, 13, something like that. And they just start attacking her verbally, just assaulting her, calling her names, and just she just begins to weep. You know, she's crying. She puts on her glasses, and she's, you know, she's just being nice to these kids. She, you know, and it's, you know, I don't have it on the blog, but we can get it up on the blog there. You, it's just terrible things. Then they posted it on their Facebooks. The kids did, because there were video on this why they were doing it, and it's just, we have to understand, you know, that if we don't get back to God's way of doing things, that it'll just be this is a rebellious nation. This is what God's word says. A rebellious nation, it says that women and children rule over it. That's what it says. And and so understand that you know, it requires two things, you know, in regards to parenting and all that, that of course the parents have to parent and the children have to obey their parents, that they have a long life and be blessed. But if the parents don't parent, there's no hope for the child, right? It doesn't mean that your children are going to listen to you, but if there's nothing to listen to, it's guaranteed it's not going to work out for them, you know? But he says, train your children in the way they should go. And when they go old, they won't depart from it. So you just don't know how old is sometimes, but you can trust God in that. But her name is Karen Klein, and she's 68 years old. You need to pray for her, just pray that God would just, you know, bless her. You can search for her and find out, you know, what actually happened there. But the video is so bad, you know, what they did. And that's why we're hesitating whether to post it on the VFN TV blog or not. But also, I mean, she just had this heart, Pat, because he said, why, you know, are you going to go back to work? Because it was the last day of school. Right. And she says, yes, I'm planning on going back. And they said, well, why would you go back? She said, because all children are not like that. Isn't that beautiful? That's so beautiful, you know. And also, you know, they said, well, do you want these children to, what do you want these children to do about making it right or whatever? She said, well, they could just write me a letter, you know, and apologize, you know, for, I mean, she's just so sweet. You know, she still had hope for those. And, you know, she talked about, you know, love and all this thing. I'm thinking, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to be able, in the midst of great conflict and things going on that we still have to love. We can't leave love. And he says in the last days, as a sign, the love of the body will grow cold. And we want to make sure, you know, the biggest, what's God going to ask us? He's going to ask us, did you love?
Right.
Did you love? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's moments when that's so easy and there's moments when it's so difficult that you have to remember how to do it. Right.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
But those are the most, probably the most precious moments when it was so hard and it was so difficult that you thought you could not muster up a love. And it's so cool when it's natural, you know, but, when you have to do it when you've been, you know, tortured or ridiculed or lied on or twisted or, you know, all these different things that happen, you know,
mm-hmm.
that it's just really difficult. Those are important times to love, and we have to learn to love, you know. And I think about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, with all the things and the hate and the things that were happening towards him, you know, he told everybody, he said, listen, he says, this will only be one in love. I mean, he just the principles of God, a man of character, you know, and he stood in the face of great danger. He stood in the people who were ridiculing him, you know, and other people that were with him, you know, African-Americans that were with him, and they just loved. They got locked up. They had, dogs were brought out, like the canine dog units type things. The people would just sneer and do different things, and he loved. And we need that. We got to, today, the church today has to have that same Christ-like anointing on us, like Dr. King did, so that we can just stand faithfully arm in arm and just love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the greatest weapon of all, because it just really throws people and the adversary off, you know, when we do that. But, right now, you know, we want to talk about the original intent. This is an original intent moment, you know, of America, our founding fathers. And there is a government that's set up. And you can, if you read the Constitution and the articles and the amendments, you'll find out that the reason why the government looks like it looks is because it was written in the Constitution that there will be a legislative branch, there will be a executive branch of government, there would be a justice courts, you know, the Supreme Court and judiciary branch. And it's there because the Constitution, you know, said that that's how it's going to be. So when people start talking about the Constitution, it's like the very fact that the Constitution exists is the very fact that you get to be where you are and mm-hmm. you've actually swore. And you got to go back and listen to a highlight called you swore, you know, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called I Swear an Oath. And you can read or hear the oaths of office that everybody takes. And they swear to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And so with that, you know, here we are facing right now a balance of powers. And a balance of power is this, you know, where the executive branch would be like the president. You have the judiciary branch, which is the Supreme Court. And you have the legislature branch, which would be the Senate and the Congress. They all have equal powers. So the president can't say, I'll just do this without you, which we've been hearing a lot of that about.
Mm-hmm.
And then Congress can't say, we'll just do this without you, because it's a balance of power of the president. And the Supreme Court can't legislate laws because they're just supposed to actually interpret them and find out if they're constitutionally correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a great balance of powers is there. And I want to talk about a little bit about Congress, because the Senate has two senators from every state. That means Rhode Island. The little small Rhode Island has two senators, and California, as big as it is, has two senators. And so it's not based on population, it's just based on the state.
Mm.
And so if you have 50 states, that means you have 100 senators.
Mm-hmm.
But now Congress, it's based on population. So if you are from Rhode Island, for example, from Rhode Island, then because it's a small state, that's why we're talking about it, they have less congressmen and women in Congress. But if you go to California or Florida, you're going to have more congressmen and women because it's a bigger population, because it's based off population. That's why they talk about redrawing district lines, because that gives greater representation of the people. And so you, as an American citizen, you know, it's a government by the people and for the people. You look at all the people that are running for a Congress representative, a congressman or congresswoman, and you evaluate based on what they're going to do, because it's representative government. We're not a democracy. We're a republic, which means people are looking to run for an office where they represent you. And so you need to actually interview these folks to see, you know, if you want them representing you or not. If they represent your values or not. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do, you know. And it's constitutionally designed that way. And so they need to talk to you. You need to meet your congressman. You need to meet your senators. But meet your congressman, because understanding that, you know, bills go before the Congress first, because that's a better representation of the country. It's a better representation of all of us. And so we sent our representatives to Washington, D.C. And here you have the House, you know, of Congress, and you got the Senate. And when you hear statements like, you know, I refuse to give Congress this information, because right now, at this very moment, we have our attorney general, which is in the executive branch, you know, telling the legislature branch, no, they're saying, no, we're not going to give you what you're asked for. You have to understand, they're not telling a government official no. They're telling your representative no. They're telling you no. They're there. The purpose of Congress is there as representing you to find out if something wrong has gone on. And they're going to come back and report to you, you know, we looked at Fast and Furious, and that's what they're talking about. We have, you know, we have Mexicans that are dead. We have an American that's dead because our government sold weapons to the drug lords over the lines. I mean, hello. This is an executive branch that says they want to do away with guns. This is the executive branch that said when they're running for office that, you know, when they get fearful, they cling to God and guns, you know, and that it's just, you know, it's like, really? And you're at the same time you're selling guns to. And so Congress is you. We want to understand original intent. So when you see your news, don't disassociate yourself when the executive branch says that I will not show you or tell you what happened, Congress, because they're saying put yourself in their place, and they're looking at you, American citizen. They go, no, American citizen, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you know, what we did. And it's like, we have a dead American here. You know, we've lost one of our guys, and all the dead, all the Mexicans that are killed, we as Christians, you know, just step outside of America for a moment. Their lives matter. It matters that all these people are being killed on our borders. It matters that farmers are scared for their lives, and they're having people kill themselves, be killed on their ranches. People are being decapitated, and bodies are being just cut. It's crazy things that are going on. And we need to know what's happening on our borders. And if our president is selling weapons over the line, and your congressman or you, right, interchange that because they represent you, wants to say, tell us what's going on so we can make sure this is, we need to really know what's happening. And they say, no, they're telling you no as the American citizen. And so, you know, you need to phone your congressman who represents you or email them. It's so much, you can email today so easily and go to their websites, whatever they are, and tell them your opinion about this. You know, stand with them when they're standing up for what's right. You know, let them know that you're proud of them. They're representing you right, and they're just asking for the evidence. They're not. It's not a partisan thing, even though it appears to be splitting on partisan lines. It's trying to find out what happened, and with that, you know, that the executive privilege of the president was exercised, which, you know, he can do that, and that's part of, you know, the executive branch. But he did it not for himself. He did that for the attorney general, which is kind of very odd, by the way, very odd. And so they filed a contempt of Congress. It's not just a contempt of court, but a contempt of Congress, which means this now that you understand the original intent. It's contempt of America. America's representatives demanded that Attorney General Eric Holder, you know, let us know what's going on. Bring us that paperwork. We want to know what happened, when it happened, and who did it. And he says to America, I'm not going to tell you. They say, okay, fine, we're going to hold you contempt of Congress. And then it looks like he's fixing to get this because he's facing jail time for that. You know, he's going to jail for this. And so if he's guilty of it. So the president, who openly said before everybody that I have no idea what's going on with this Fast and Furious, I have no information on it, I know nothing about it, now all of a sudden he's exercising executive rights. Well, you would only do that about something that you know, but you don't necessarily know. So something happened with the attorney general that he went to the president and, you know, pressured him or whatever. And, which sounds to us, and we're familiar with those kind of things, what happens, and it's a spiritual thing. And, next thing you know, he exercises, you know, what does Eric Holder know on our president that the president wasn't willing to lose him? What's going on? I don't know what's happening. But understand this, you know, original intent, you know, is for when Congress calls people before them to testify, he's they're calling people before them on behalf of you to find out information that they can report back to you about what's going on. And sometimes they do an investigation. They say, well, it's just all, you know, it wasn't right. It wasn't real. You know, that it was just something that was made up, and they can clear somebody's name. And but right now, so when you understand how the original intent of government is, then you can say, my goodness, Congress has equal powers with the president. But the president pulled the executive right trump card on you, on the Congress, so you couldn't find out. And, you know, we have some of our, even our VFN family that's right there in Texas, and they have people coming over the lines. And we have American citizens that are right there on the edge of Mexico and Texas, and bad things are happening. It's happening in Arizona, and it's just really, really rough, and we need to know what's going on, you know? And so right now we need to really pray for those in authority over us and understand that, you know, there's a violation of our Constitution that's going on, it appears. When it comes to guns, at one side you're saying, you know, Americans don't need guns. And if they do cling to guns and God, it's because they're scared. And at the same time, you're selling guns to the drug lords, to the drug lords. So I encourage you, contact your congressman. Realize when you're watching this story about, you know, executive privilege. And we have this on the VFN TV blog. Yes, you can watch, you know, a segment that we have on there. And Fast and Furious was the name of the, you know, the guns that they were actually giving and selling to the drug lords. And one of those guns killed one of our American citizens, which was a an officer down there. So this is a really important time. We got to find out what's going on, because it looks like the Constitution that they swore to uphold didn't protect and defend from enemies, foreign and domestic, that they have actually violated that. And so Congress, your representatives, need to find out what went on. Hopefully they didn't. Hopefully that didn't happen. But, I mean, there's 1,000 warning signs going up right now. We do not want, you know, our president swears to protect the borders. His job is to keep us safe and make sure and execute the laws that the legislative branch put in. And one of them is our borders. And if you're supposed to protect our borders, you're supposed to protect our borders, but you're the ones actually giving guns to the people on the other side of the border. I mean, think about the irony of this. Okay, your job as the president is to protect America's borders.
Right.
And they swear to that. And then they sell guns to the people on the other side of the border. It's like you're violating your oath of office. You're in total, you know, forget about Eric Holder. I mean, if that's what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a violation of what you, the oath you swore to be even to uphold. And over again, the Lord has shown us prophetically and in dreams and in visions that our borders are being invaded. Things are coming over our borders and they're going to come over our borders. And we're looking at that strategy unfolding right this moment, right before our very eyes. And it looks like the executive branch of government is somehow affecting that and allowing these things to take place. Crazy, but realize that you can go to VFNTV.com and go to our blog and find out some of those prophetic words and visions. You also can see about the story about the executive privilege and what is going on. We'll be right back in just one moment. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFN Radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via FM radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If right now, if you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? It's so that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. You know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more. There also, I want to remind everybody that you can get VFN Radio, VFN TV, on your mobile device. If you're not listening to us right now on your mobile device, it's pretty cool. John, get this. Pat, get this.
Talk to us.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I am riding my motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
I am riding my motorcycle. Actually, I had a moment of time. It was a slender moment, but I ran out of my office, and I jumped on my bike and like, you know, getting away. And I put the safety gear on. There's no seatbelt on a motorcycle, so you just kind of hold on, and Jesus holds you on to the thing. And I'm listening. I have my iPhone earbuds in my ear, you know, and I have it. My iPhone's turned to VFN radio, and I'm listening because it's 24-hour broadcast. You know, we record live right now. It's live when you're hearing us. If you're hearing us between the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central hour, but you can hear the same program all day long because we have so many different time zones all the way over to Yulong in China. He's listening to it in Israel and in Malawi and just all over the world. And so it plays all. So we'll have 2 hours live, but then it will play. So I was able to get on my bike, push a simple button on my application on my iPhone, and be encouraged by VFN Radio. So I'm riding my bike, man. It's just a good thing. It's a really good thing. God's good. God's good. And And so I'm writing it and I'm listening to an encouraging word. You know, one of the teachings actually is what I'm listening to off of the application that you can listen to them, which is Desperate for God's Glory. As a matter of fact, that's going to be available really soon. And, you know, Desperate for God's Glory. I'm just so excited about that. Hopefully it'll be up this week. But I'm listening to it and I'm just thinking, oh man, this is just perfect. I'm driving out into the wilderness. I'm going out to like this long country road, man. It's just like, at first it's like, this is great. Oh, actually, Spring Lake area. Do you remember Spring Lake back in Florida when we had the father and son camping trip at Spring Lake? But I was riding my motorcycle, and I'm going down past that Spring Lake area, and so this is the unknown territory. I'm driving my bike, and I've never really actually, because you know it's new to me. My neighbor, you know, blessed me with this bike, and it was just really cool. I probably wouldn't have got one from anybody else other than him, and. And so I haven't ridden on soft dirt roads before, sandy roads. And so I'm paying close attention, you know, because I'm out there and I'm listening to the VFN radio. My helmet's on. I got a face protection on and all that. So I can't really see what's going on. And the sound's getting softer and softer and softer. And all of a sudden, it's going through this wooded area. And I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm not that talented. I'm not able to turn this thing around. I'm going to get this thing in the sand. All these thoughts are crossing my head. And so then I passed this old, it looked like petticoat junction house. I don't know. Y'all can't relate to that. Some just old wooden.
Like a little house on a prairie?
Yes, kind of, but it had a porch on it, you know, and it was up. And they were sitting on this big chair, and this man was on this, sitting here rocking back and forth and had his big dog and had a pig. This pig was so big; it must have been 1,000 pounds, man. It looked like a little small mountain there, you know. I didn't realize it had a nose for a moment. I thought it was just a hill or something. And then I'm passing slowly, and I'm looking at him, and I didn't look to the right, and I realized once I passed it that there was a sign there. So now I'm caught between barbed wire fence, going down this road, passing pigs and chickens and goats, and also the past this man on this porch up here. I'm thinking I'm on his property. I'm probably on his property. I am on soft sand. I am between barbed wire fence. I'm passing goats and pigs and chickens and stuff. I don't know who's on this front porch. You might be drawing down on me anytime right now. I got VFN radio playing in my ears, and now I'm realizing I might be in trouble. And so I kind of turn my bike. I can't turn it around because I'm stuck between the barbed wire fence. And I'm going down through the woods now, and I passed all that farm here. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. And I start thinking, I might not make it out of here. So I pull them earphones out. I'm thinking, I've never been out in this country area. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Remember it? Remember, John? Remember that?
You might need your bulletproof vest to get out there.
I know. And so then I keep driving. I pull the earbuds down. Like, I got to hear what's going on. I pull my face mask up. I'm looking around thinking anytime something can happen out here. I'm pulling. I don't know. I just didn't know where I was. And then all of a sudden, man, after just continuing to ride, I came out on this beautiful lake. It's a river out there. It's called Beck's Lake. And it was just beautiful, man. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I would have never known that. And so I show up, I'm going to park my bike, take off all my gear. You know, it's in Florida. It was hot. And, I go down, there was a fire burning. There was tents out, but there was nobody there. And they were gone. You know, I guess as I'm walking, there's fishing poles in the water. And so I'm walking out. And I was sitting on this bench or something that's out there by the water, just beautiful, beautiful. And then my mind starts thinking, I wonder why there's nobody here. I wonder why the tent. Why is there a fire burning and why are these fishing poles still in the water? I'm thinking,
see?
Oh my goodness.
That's almost just as good as, you know, trying to walk at night in certain parts of the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. Well, kind of like, so I was sitting there, and so my mind, you know, of course, the adversary is there to kind of fill us in on what's going on, saying that they're probably all dead, and you just walked into a murder scene. And so then, you know, I think this is right behind Pat's house. I'm messing with you. We're just having a good time today. But anyway, so I got out there. I sat on this bench, and it's just beautiful. I took some pictures, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a meeting scheduled with one of the ministers in BFN. And so I'm calling him up, and I'm telling or texting him because at work, and I say, hey, you got to meet me here. And I'm thinking, I don't even know where here is, you know. And so I did the GPS thing. I copied the link. I sent it. And all of a sudden, these sailors showed up. They went to go get some firewood or whatever. We're nice guys, and they'd spent the night there. And it's just a beautiful place out there. And but then I realized after about 5 minutes, every living flying creature was flying, biting me. I was getting things in my ears, things in my eyes. I mean, they were all over me. So I looked at these sailors, you know, and I said, how do you stop these bugs from biting you? Though that you don't stop them. You know, I'm thinking like, I'm out of here. You know, so I got back on my bike and took off. But the big thing I was talking about with all this is that I had a bike. No, it was the fact that I was listening to VFN radio because I have a mobile application. If you want to be that mobile, no matter where you're going, you can download the VFN TV app. Either search for it in iTunes store, search for it in the Android store, or just go to your browser on your phone and type in vfntv.com and just follow the instructions. Listen, there's nothing about, no matter where you go, even to this wild place in the wilderness, you still can listen to VFN TV, VFN radio, no matter where you go. Welcome back. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Man, that was a wonderful ride out there. I really enjoyed it after I got to the place that I knew I was going to live and not die out there. You know, the Congress right now, which we just had, you know, original intents, and, you know, your representatives are meeting to report back to you, and they're having an investigation on Capitol Hill, Homeland Security, about radical Islam. They're meeting on radical Islam and how it's impacting, you know, America, and it's a serious thing. And I remember I was talking to John Stemberger. We'll have that interview for you soon on VFN Radio. John Stemberger, my goodness, he's the one responsible for, you know, having the marriage amendment put on the Florida Constitution, family, faith, and freedom, I believe. We'll have that on our blog to be able to get to his ministry. And he's also a lawyer down in Orlando. Forgive me, John, for that. Pat's going to find out, and I'll pass it on. But with that, you know, as I was talking to him, and he said, you know, as I studied this, because he represented a 17-year-old girl who his parents were going to ship her back to an Arab country. American family was going to ship her back to an Arab country because she was a Christian. She became a Christian. She was Muslim, and then she became a Christian. And to them, that was an insult for them, and they wanted to be able to deal with the issue, and she was in fear for her life. She ran for her life. I think probably for a couple of years she was in hiding. And then John began to represent her, and then other counsel came in, and he really understands, you know, some of these things that are going on. And so I'm talking to him, and you'll hear the interview coming up soon. And he says, well, this is what I've discovered. And somebody told him this, and you'll hear who it was. And he said, this is what it's kind of like. You have the Muslim who is more Americanized, and they're not, they really don't even, you know, focus much on the Quran and that type of thing. And then you have the middle of the road, which, that they are religious and they show up, you know, at, mosques, and they practice their religion. But then you have the radical Islam, and that's what they're meeting on in Congress, mm-hmm. the radical Islam. And these are the ones that are dangerous. So he said, to be able to lump them all together, you know, would be, you know, wrong to do. And the concept of that is what he figured out. And, I said, you know, then I began to talk to him. I said, so then you say you have three, and this is his description of it. You have three, potential, aspects of Islam that you can focus on. The one is the people who don't know the Quran. The other is the people who focus on the good parts of the Quran. And then you have the other people who focus on all of the Quran as a word from God and that they're going to fulfill it. And he said, you know, pretty much yes. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, then you're telling me that the only hope for Israel, I mean, the only hope for America is a backslidden Muslim? He paused and he said, yes. You know, somebody that wasn't faithful to the Quran. And then I said, well, you know, understanding Christianity, that, you know, Islam says that Jesus has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And you'll find out more about that. As a matter of fact, available right now for VFN TV subscribers. You subscribe for free. That you can go to VFNTV.com and do that. Available is The State of the Nation. It's called The State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You've got to listen to this and get God's perspective about what's going on right here. And so, you know, then I said to him, I said, well, you think about it. If you described the way he described Islam and Muslims, let's pull that away. Let's just describe Christians. So you have somebody who actually, a Christian who doesn't go to church, doesn't read the Word of God. That would be the first Muslim that he described, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second Christian would be the one who actually reads the word but doesn't do it.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a here, or, you know. And then the third Christian is the one that actually reads the word and obeys it and follows God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And for the very fact that preaching Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only way to God is offensive to Islam. It's offensive to them. They consider that, you know, it, to us, we'll love people, you know, no matter what. You know, we're going to love them, and you know, we're not trying to convince somebody. We just tell them the gospel, and we just honor their answer, whatever it is, you know. And but in regards to Islam, the very fact when we are bold for Jesus and we're living for the Lord, then we're going to obey what he says, and we're going to preach Jesus and him crucified. We're going to preach mm-hmm. he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he is the way to God, the only way. We're going to say, you know, that any other way other than Jesus, this person's considered a thief and a liar, a robber. Mm-hmm. And so the very fact of being a sold-out, loyal Christ follower, Christian, is an affront. It's an attack. They consider that an insult. So then, and he's going, well, yeah. Yeah. And so then I said, then you're saying that the only hope for America then, and this is the part that I didn't get to, and this is what was being said.
Mm.
The only hope for America is a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
And America's not that important that we give up Jesus, you know, who he is. You know, it's not just everybody talks about Jesus, but it's important who he is to you. Now, Jesus said, you know, who do they say I am? You know, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. And then Jesus goes, you know, who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. And he says, thou art the Son of God. And, Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did. And on this rock, what rock? The rock of knowing who Jesus really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so you have to realize you're not going to be the adversary and those that have a religion, you know, that's considered a thief and a robber, right? Any other way other than Jesus, mm-hmm. that... they're not going to be your friend. I mean, you can want them to be, and you could, you know, you could be your employer and be really nice, but you cannot not acknowledge Jesus. You have to acknowledge him. You have to not, you know, and he is the Son of God, the only way to God. And he is not going to come back in Damascus and stand and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And he is not going to be the assistant to, you know, you got to hear this. You got to hear this at VFNTV.com. Just subscribe for free and get this. You got some teachings that are available. You'll see them, but you go back to all the resources as a subscriber. It's called The State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. Because you have to understand that Christianity came before America did. Yeah, the Lamb was here, but the United States of America came afterwards. It's a byproduct of people who wanted just to worship God. You know, they wanted to find a land that was free for them to worship God, and it progressed to the United States of America. But look at the Declaration of Independence. Look at the U.S. Constitution. God has acknowledged all in that, in his place in our lives. And it's signed in the year of our Lord, which is Jesus Christ. And so it was just a given thing. They just didn't realize how far out we could go, you know, mm-hmm. and leaving our original, our founding fathers. So they're right now, you can see the VFN TV blog, they're having a meeting on radical Islam. But according to John Stenberger, you know, the only hope for America is a backslidden Muslim, one who doesn't read the Quran or reads it but doesn't follow it. Because mm-hmm. the Quran is like the antithesis of the gospel.
Right.
It's the antithesis. It's the opposite. If you read the book of Revelation and whatever, you know, which is a revelation of Christ, by the way, and you think about the opposite of that, that's what's written in the Quran. That's what's written. It's the total opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not going to say too much about it, you know, because a limited amount of time, but you'll hear very specifics. You'll hear very specifics. You'll have, you know, news clips playing. You'll have factual things going on that you're able to see the Quran, and you'll be able to see the Bible side by side, and you'll see a comparison because my people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This repentance, this accepting there's many ways to God. No, there's only one way to God. And it's through his son, Jesus Christ. And right now, you know, they're all, you know, walking on eggshells and rice paper. And our representatives are the ones that are representing us. It's a representative government because they're just worried about, you know, speaking about homeland security, about radical Islam. And these are people who actually read the Quran and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Imagine how radical the church would be if the church repented and said, you know what, we're going to actually read the word, you know, and we're going to follow it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be as dedicated to the true God and the access to God through Jesus Christ as all these other religions are that they're promulgating in the world. It's going to be exciting when the church wakes up, isn't it?
I know.
It's going to be so exciting. I want to encourage you, if you've been thinking about, you know, you're looking around and you read the word of God, and then you look around, you look at the church, and you're just disappointed. Well, realize that's not an oddity. It's like, you know, what you're doing is you're looking and seeing that things aren't lining up. Go ahead and line up yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to line up. Don't wait for somebody else to tell you that God's word is right. It's right. It's right. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates between the thought intents and attitudes of the heart. It's what you have faith in the word of God. It's your shield. It's your sword, you know. It's everything you're going to need. It's the light at your feet. It tells you where you are. It's a lamp to your path. It tells you where you're going. It's a living, active word of God. And begin to walk in it. And if you can't find someone to relate to, you know, begin to check out VFN, vfnfamily.org, and find out, you know, in your area that if there's a VFN a pastor or a church in your area. If not, you can be the first one with a brand new church plant going through the processes of getting there, being trained up and being rightly related, you know, and those who labor amongst you. But once you get through those things, you're ready to go. Well, think about it. You're ready. You can be the first one that says, you know what? I'm going to begin to walk by God's grace, walk out what God says. I want to be in the harvest field. So we need to support and pray for your representatives. Our representatives right now are having a meeting in the White House today. And 63% of Americans approve of this particular meeting going on. They want to find out, you know, what's happening with this radical Islam. But understand, radical Islam means they read the Quran and they follow it. They read the Quran and they follow it. And it's not good what happens to those who don't convert to Islam. It's not good for those that love Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want that to be promulgated. You know, there's a freedom to worship and ever what you worship in America. But if something snuffs out our foundation, if it snuffs out Jesus Christ and the freedom, you can't put a manger scene, you know, in a mall. If you can't put the Ten Commandments up, I mean, your religion is snuffing out our religion. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's not what was meant. That's not the original intent of that.
Right.
And our relationship, because you can't do that. But understand this, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. There's time for us to now pray for the representatives there. Help us to give us eyes to see. Let's just pray right now. Father God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to shake ourselves, to realize, Lord, what's happening. And you're wanting us to turn back to you. You're wanting us to be able to say, you're right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. And that's what he's saying, folks. And we just want to be able to make sure that we respond to that. We'll be right back in just one moment. Kalaszewski with us on the LVFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
I mean, there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via the radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me,
you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me is Pat Hamilton in the studio. We're coming to the end of the last quarter of the extra hour. And so many things are happening. We want to be able to look at God's perspective, you know, what's happening, you know, his word, what he says about what's happening in the world, and look at the truth face to face. And we just looked at the hearings that are taking place in Washington by your representatives, our representatives, as they're facing radical Islam and what to do. Right now, in addition to that, the lawmakers finally have joined in supporting the detained pastor in Iran, Pastor Youssef. You know, Pastor Youssef refused to, in Iran, he refused to deny, Pat, the, he refused to acknowledge Muhammad as the true prophet, because acknowledging Muhammad as a true prophet is to acknowledge saying that everything that Muhammad says is true. And of course, Muhammad says that Jesus is not the Son of God. He's got to come back and apologize for calling himself the Son of God, but he will come back and assist, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's totally opposite. And so of course he's a Christian, you know, you know, Pastor Youssef can't acknowledge Muhammad as a true prophet, because to acknowledge Muhammad as a true prophet is to not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's the opposite. And so they've locked him up. He's been in jail now for quite some time, and in Iran, and they're persecuting the church, I mean, very badly. And it's happening in Iraq as well. But for some time, it was actually Jay Sekulow's son who saw what was going on and began to say, listen, we got to do something about it. And everybody was silent. You know, the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was silent. Even though she was right around there, you know, and he's not the only pastor being locked up over there because of this. This is the big thing about it. God's word is true. The things that were happening to the church back in the book of Acts is happening today. We just happen to be, or presently were, and hopefully will still continue to be, in a country that was blessed by God that allowed us to have the freedom that we could preach Jesus Christ and him crucified openly. Mm-hmm. You know, and we are at risk right now of losing that freedom. And in the same situation that's happening over there to Pastor Youssef and other Christian believers, the things that happened to Dudemeyer Duderman, if you remember him, where he was, you know, tortured and all this kind of stuff because he's delivering Bibles to Russians and all that, that it's happening right now to Pastor Youssef. And finally, praise God, the law makers, after quite some time, because, you know, we've been praying for him for some time now, and they are getting behind him, and they passed unanimously to resolve the situation and calling for his release. They voted Tuesday on it, and more than 120,000 signatures of people urging lawmakers to approve the measure, you know, came in. And so the American Center for Law and Justice has been following Pastor Youssef's case and advocated on his behalf, you know, up until this particular time. So now they're getting really hopeful that the government's going to get behind it. But you know what we said earlier, that for some reason our president doesn't want to get too involved in what's happening in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And for what we're seeing take place with the Church in America and how he's, you know, made executive orders that were against the church, you know, and saying that we have to actually buy health care to abort a child.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a nonprofit such as the Catholic Social Services or an outreach ministry or something of that nature, and he didn't change it. And so this is very exciting to see what's happening. Your prayers are being answered. I mean, America's waking up and they're saying, listen, we got to do something about this. I believe that he and his wife and his sons, since they've been in facing this whole thing and refusing to recant their Christian faith since 2009.
Mm.
And now they're about to do something about it. But you can see that. You also can see a video on the VFN TV blog about that. Remember to lift up Pastor Youssef and all those who are suffering because of their faith, and realize right now the freedom that we already have and that we may be losing, we need to repent on behalf of the freedom that we've wasted, that we wasted this freedom. What do we do with the freedom that God entrusted us with? And understand this, like, my goodness, but then we can repent by saying, you know what, I want to use whatever freedom we have to be able to advance the cause of the kingdom, to be able to advance the name of Jesus Christ and to win people to the Lord's side. And I just want to encourage you with that. And we talked also about, you know, is America under judgment? You know, and this is available to anybody that wants to go to VFNTV.com or on your mobile devices or VFNTV app, that we got to look at the fact that there's something being preached. It's this, you know, this lie that says that, you know, God doesn't discipline those he loves, that God does not use hardship to motivate us to do the right thing, when the very mm-hmm. word of God says, consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son, that God, you know, shakes the world to teach the world righteousness. And mm-hmm. so things do happen. I mean, you know, bad things happen to good people that are doing things right. Not everything is that, you know, some things just happen. In this life, you're going to have trouble, but there's some things that happen where, you know, God is getting your attention. And in Romans chapter 1, you know, and you when you see Romans chapter 1, verse 18, I believe, through 30, he's talking about three transitions. There's three things that happen where when God's people, this is the New Testament now. This is not the Old Testament. This is the New Covenant, right?
Right.
In the first phase of judgment, he talks about it. And he says, you know, in it, that for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts became darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. Images. And so they quit. The first phase, the first reason why things get turned over is because his people, God's people, us, we fail to acknowledge God. We start looking to other things, our work, our houses, our property, our country, our nation, you know, our buildings, whatever they are. And we started considering that more valuable to God, and we follow that instead of following God. He says, if you don't love me more than these things, you know, you can have no part of me, right? That's what he said.
Right.
You know, and if in fact that happens, if we fail to acknowledge God, if we fail to have a heart of gratitude for God, and how many times do you see people just saying, I'm just so grateful for what God is doing in my life. You know, when I run water in my home, I think, my goodness, we have water coming in our home, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you're able to take the trash out to the roadside and somebody comes and picks it up.
Yeah.
That's just a beautiful thing.
All right.
You know, these things they're not that, I mean, this. We live in a place that allows, that has police protection, you know, and we have a government that we have the Constitution, and we're just blessed. We have so much to be grateful for. And to be in the context of that, we have to acknowledge God in it, because they failed to acknowledge God. And so then if we fail to acknowledge God and have a grateful heart, in verse 24, he says, therefore, God gave them over. See what I'm saying? So something happens that we're doing wrong as a church. And so God says, therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies one with another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's what's happening today. Mm-hmm. We're setting aside God's commands, right?
Right.
For man's traditions. They exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, whose name is praised forevermore. So there's a transition there. Mm-hmm. The reason why that happened is because of failing to acknowledge God, being grateful to God, and not setting aside His commands for our traditions. So what do? We can stop everything right then by going, you know what? I'm going to acknowledge God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be grateful, and I'm going to repent and get back to His commands, and I'm not going to follow men's traditions or philosophies, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
But and so the consequences of doing that, the first phase of judgment then is consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. He's turning us over to sexual impurities. He's turning us over to do all these things that you're seeing take place in there. So you can look at that evidence and see that we've already made it into the first phase of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people, they're pulling the Ten Commandments down. They're trying to take "In God We Trust" out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They're cussing God's name right now when children in kindergarten just this week,
mm.
You know, singing "God Bless America." And so then there's a second phase of judgment he talks about. And then there's a third phase of judgment. And you can get this teaching, this prophetic teaching with actual evidence and happening where you get a comparison. So you as a person, because you're accountable by yourself, is America under judgment? Is the nation under judgment? And it talks about all three phases. Well, the third phase is this, the final phase. You remember the third phase would not be here if we would have acknowledged God, if we would not have set aside His commands for our own traditions, and if we would have been grateful. And so we cannot point our finger and blame our harvest. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the second phase is a harvest of the first phase.
Mm-hmm.
And the third phase is a harvest of the first two.
Right.
You know? And so right now, this very moment, we don't have a lot of time left. I've got about my 1 or 2 minutes left, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. But the Pentagon, as we speak, they're setting up where they're going to celebrate Gay Pride Month.
Mm.
Gay Pride Month. And that's the third phase. That's
right.
The third phase, and we'll talk more probably about that tomorrow. And you have to read Romans chapter 1, just see how things progress. And you have people that are failing to acknowledge God. They're setting aside His commands for their own traditions. They're not grateful. While they're yelling at people who are having the consequences of these phases of judgment. They're like a byproduct of these three different phases.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to, all of us have got to repent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't point at your harvest, you know, and think it's going to be well and criticize it while your marriage is out of whack, you know,
right.
While you're not walking in the way God says marriage should be. I mean, it's just not going to work out.
Mm-mm.
You know, the way a business is supposed to be, the way that we're being acknowledging God. I can't believe how quickly time's flying, but we'll talk more about this tomorrow in tomorrow's program. But you can get it right now on at VFNTV.com. I mean, one of our listeners in Orlando listened to this, and she just was shocked, because it's going to just shock you. I mean, why stay in denial anymore? Why keep listening to people who are not telling you the truth? Why not find out what God is saying? And we can have more compassion about what's happening in America and people that are into certain sins and all that. We can love them, understanding they're nothing but our harvest. And God loves them. God has a plan for their life. And just like God can forgive us if we repent, He can forgive them as well. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Don't forget, it will loop all day long. And so you can listen to VFN Radio. It's VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness. We'll see you tomorrow.